Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is A Real Spoilers, episode 540, The Grudge, the best movie of the decade so far.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I mean, didn't anything else come out? Like, even like a little independent?
No.
I don't think anything came out.
I'll tell you what, they picked their spot.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure and subscribe or follow, whatever they term it in that particular location, so you never miss an episode. At absolutely no charge to you.
None.
I've read that some people get confused because they hear subscribe and they associate that with, like, magazines.
Oh, really?
And that they think that there's a fee.
No, we waive that fee.
We waived it. We pay that for you.
So
Don't worry about those other film podcasts, like, they do have a fee.
But you'll probably want to unsubscribe from those pretty quickly.
Because it's like they'll hit your credit card and you won't even know it.
You'll forget.
Totally.
52 weeks free. You forgot last year. You signed up for auto renew.
It's how they get you,
man. Cancel them all.
How they get you.
Sign up for us on every device.
Yeah, all of them. And also, don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page and join the group, which is called the League of Show Sharers. And, of course, our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. That one does cost money.
Yes.
But it goes to a good cause.
Correct.
Us. Yeah. And that's $5 a month, and you get all sorts of bonus content and the joy of knowing that you helped us out.
Right.
I went back through the box office to find a new release.
Yeah.
There's no other new releases.
That's what I said. They picked their spot.
Oh, my God. This is the best movie of 2020 so far.
Best movie of 2020.
And it's also an important life lesson for you, Kevin, which is don't ever question me.
I just wanted it so bad. I didn't want it to be true. You have to understand.
I know. I deal with this with my children all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm right.
Yeah, I'm right. You're wrong.
I am right.
You're not smarter than I am.
You want to know? Here's a story.
That's a real phrase.
Please.
I said to my 8-year-old.
Here's what you have to look forward to.
Christ.
This is an actual argument I had with my stepdaughter.
Which is how old?
She is 13.
Okay.
Yeah. And
will you be playing both parts in this?
Yes. Okay. But because of my cold, I can't do voices.
Okay.
And also because of my lack of talent.
Can you do voices?
I can't do voices. No. We were playing a board game, and we needed to flip a coin to decide who went first between her or her stepbrother.
Okay.
Right? And so flipped the coin. It came up to where my son won. My wife flipped a coin.
it's not a double-headed coin.
What's going on?
Loaded dice.
It comes up heads, and she's like, it always comes up heads the first time you flip a coin. And I was like,
what?
No. That's just factually inaccurate. No, that's what always happens. No, it's not what always happens. Like, why would people flip coins if that's what always happens?
And you can't prove it because if you flip it again, it's not the first time.
Right.
So you can't prove it.
And she's like, no, it's what always happens. That's every time. And I was like, so out of thousands of years of flipping coins.
Should I go up there right now and flip a coin?
She's not here.
Oh, dang.
But out of thousands
of teams, call the coin.
Like. Out of thousands of years of flipping coins that people have used this device for randomization purposes. We've all been hoodwinked, but you, 13-year-old girl, figured out there was a flaw in the system.
There's a glitch in the matrix.
And we all missed it for thousands of years.
She's like, yes.
This is why I don't even say things.
Oh. Well,
I'm sorry, I kind of did a voice.
You did kind of. I get that mopey, like,
yeah,
emo voice. I'm with you.
Yeah.
There was, I remember Bella and I, she said something and I was like, that's not true. And then she came back and then I came back and my wife goes, what are you doing? I was like, what? She goes, why are you arguing with her? She goes, she's 8. And I was like, yeah, that's a good point. Carry about your day, I guess. I'm just going to go into the basement.
But know that you're wrong.
There has been many times where I'm just like, you're not smarter than I am. Yeah. Stop it. And then she says something like, well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. She did go to a gifted. She goes to a gifted school. I never did that.
So the clock is ticking.
Yeah. Oh, it's ticking.
Yeah. So anyway, The Grudge.
Okay.
The Grudge 2020.
Yeah.
We have to differentiate because.
So there's a 2002 version, which is the original version. That's the Japanese version.
And I hate to tell you, Tom and I have never seen any of these movies.
So I recommend.
You're the only one, though, that has to carry any history.
Which is fine. Yeah. I don't mind doing that. Okay. So I do recommend the first Japanese one and then the first American one.
I remember the American one getting good reviews.
Yeah, it came out.
And that first Japanese one is actually the third one, isn't it? It started as a direct-to-video series
maybe.
In Japan, and then it got big enough that third one got released theatrically.
Interesting. Well, I did not know that.
And that was, I think, subtitled The Grudge.
It was, yeah.
And like,
yeah.
It, like, whatever, however you say it in Japanese.
Ju-un. Yeah.
Like, it was, like, that means, I think, The Curse.
No, that was the first one, Ju-un.
Oh, okay. And, but it was, that means, like, The Curse, and then that third one that became so popular
is
called The Curse, The Grudge.
That makes sense when you look at the content of the movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now, was this before or was this after The Ring?
Same time.
Okay, because I remember there were all these Japanese horror movies. There was The Ring.
I think The Ring was first. Okay. And then they picked up a bunch of other ones, the remake
of The Ring is first.
But they kept bringing them over because they're like, The Ring, yeah. The Grudge. And then what was the other one? VCR? What's the one with the reporter? Cam?
Wreck.
Wreck?
Wreck.
No, like,
so the original one was... The original one is Wreck.
Mm.
The American remake is Quarantine.
Okay.
Yeah, that's starring not Dexter's sister.
Yeah.
Jennifer Carpenter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like there was this influx of American remakes of Japanese. And I don't think Wreck is Japanese.
Oh.
I think it's like Brazilian or...
Maybe I was just thinking foreign horror movies they remade.
Yeah, there was a lot of...
You're right. No, I think it's Brazilian.
Yeah,
I think Portuguese.
It is. Maybe it's Portuguese.
Well, that's...
Is that Brazilian?
They speak Portuguese in Brazil, but Portugal is a place.
I don't know. Anyway. It was not an American movie. The Americans remade it.
Yes. But I believe it is, I think a Brazilian.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
So there was this influx of Japanese horror, which, working at Blockbuster that time, which led to a lot, like, we would get a lot of the original stuff in.
Right, because people were curious.
Yeah, they're like, what is this? So, like,
were any of those exclusives?
Like, the Blockbuster exclusives? No. They didn't do that. They weren't that dumb yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so the first movie is we'll just go off the Sarah Michelle Gellar version because that's kind of where this ties into that original version.
So, was the remake totally a reboot? Like, was that not connected to the Japanese ones?
No, it was a complete, like, they were remaking it.
Got it.
And then they set up their own mythology after that.
Got it.
So, in the original one, Sarah Michelle Gellar plays a, like, nursing assistant who's assigned to this home. Turns out, in this home, a man, Bill Pullman plays a teacher. We see this in the very beginning of the movie. Bill Pullman plays a teacher who jumps off of a ledge and kills himself. And you're like, what the is going on?
Mm.
The advantage that The Grudge 2004 had is that I think it is directed by the original director.
Okay.
So they brought him back.
Safe to say he understood the movie.
Correct. And how the movie's supposed to feel. Yes. So turns out that there was a family that lived in this the house that Sarah Michelle Gellar was at. That was murdered by the husband murders the wife and the son. And then anybody who crosses over into that house gets stuck with the curse.
Okay. So it removes from the person, or they like duplicate it?
So that's where this movie picks it. So the house in the very beginning of this movie that woman mm-hmm. is coming out of is the house from the 2004 Grudge.
Oh, okay.
So I liked the idea. The idea is a good idea.
So the first Grudge still took place in Japan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, even the American version.
Right. That's what I meant.
Took place in Japan. Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
So
okay.
I liked the idea of an American going into that house, getting saddled with the curse,
so she brought it to the States,
brings it back with her.
Got it.
That's yes. That's well, then what
people
happens.
Say the Grudge was also kind of an allegory for AIDS, like you
kind
get it
of
and it spreads
and it's oh, well that's know, the idea of this curse,
kind of infect people with it,
right? So the two like ghosts slash demons that you see in the Grudge is the wife and the little boy that are murdered in this house. You don't see them at all in this movie. Like that's kind of like the if you watch it like the in the original Grudge, the wife makes a noise that is just it's unhuman and it's unnerving. Like when she's about to kill somebody. It's very scary, but it's the noise that she made as she was dying. Mm. So like that's what she's stuck with.
Oh, okay.
Is that the noise the girl keeps making in this? She's like a little like she's part Geiger counter.
No, they never make the noise.
Because every time you see the little girl, like not the little girl from this movie, but the right. little girl that you remember from the Grudge commercials and everything.
Sure.
She like makes this sound like it's like the
you mean the original girl?
Yeah, like the world's slowest burp.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the noise. Yes, it's that. Yes, okay. You're right.
She's like burping in slow motion.
And
she's
it's just yes, that's exactly it.
A B C.
So what this one does is we open up on an American caregiver, I guess. She's a nurse and she was staying at this house and she's like, I gotta get back home. So and it is the now in the
now that sounds very similar. Isn't that what Sarah Michelle Gellar you said?
But she lived in Japan.
Okay.
Like this lady does too. She's a live-in nurse, but she's leaving.
Right.
Yeah.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar, I don't think ever leaves. Okay. Like she lives. That's where she stays.
That's interesting that they kind of set it up with. It's not a reboot because it's a continuation, but then they kind of gave that gal the same job in the same location.
Right.
Okay. That's just interesting.
It's.
Well, I guess she would have been. Sarah Michelle Gellar's replacement
or the one before Sarah Michelle Gellar, because so in the Grudge 2, the American Grudge 2, they burn the house down, so the house is still standing, so I have to well they set it on fire, they don't burn it down, it doesn't go all the way, so I have to believe that this is in between either before Sarah Michelle Gellar
or gets rid of two.
They burn that, or I guess it could be a sequel to one. I guess that's possible. This movie's a mess. Yeah. It's so bad.
It's very confusing.
They want the main character to be Shelley Duvall, and she can't. Like, it's just not the way. Like, they're trying to get that Shining style character, but also she's a cop who apparently has no like love for her child.
Yeah,
because she just leaves that kid alone. I don't know where.
I know.
Where's the kid the whole time?
I'm like, who's watching the kid right now?
I forgot about the kid, and then I'm like, oh yeah,
yeah. Until the guy for the other detective was like, hey, where's your kid?
Yeah,
and she's like, oh yeah, oh
oh yeah,
the 8-year-old who's a mess because his father died
of
cancer.
Just died, and now like,
remember I told you when you were scared. You should close your eyes and count to 5. She gets home. The kid's like, I'm on like 400,000.
Where have you been, Mom?
Where have you been?
I've been eating nothing but Cheerios and, the milk went bad, so nothing. So this woman comes home and we don't really see. If you don't know, like, the backstory of that first movie, this isn't going to make sense.
Well, I mean, I just assumed. I think people know enough. Like, I've never seen it. I mean, I'm like, okay, that's a house where something bad happened, and it's following her home. Like, okay. I got that.
Sure. And so in what happens is that she brings it home, and then there's a lot of weird time jumps.
But that's the non-chronological storytelling. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I feel as if that they pieced this movie together and they were like, this is boring.
Right.
What if we told it non-sequentially?
Yeah.
And that would make it more interesting.
I wonder if that, because it was a mess.
Because it does make it more interesting, but not very.
No.
We were trying to get three stories and then.
Like, I felt like this movie did a really good job of mood and ambiance. Like, I liked that, but like.
I did not.
But like, it never got. I didn't feel like it ever really, when it came time to do something scary,
yeah,
it was just the same old stuff.
Yeah, it was the same old stuff. Yeah.
One of the big problems was it relies all on the jump scares. Like we talked about before, they didn't really, I didn't think they did a great job of tension building.
No.
And it was very quiet. Like they didn't use an effective score to ramp the tension up. It was just like quiet and then a jump scare. So they went from 0 to 100 for every scare. And it's like,
And it's one of the things about Japanese horror that I don't think Americans are very good. American directors are very good at translating
the bukkake.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's always the tentacle monsters,
right?
Is the Japanese horror has a completely different feel than American horror. So when an American director tries to copy what the Japanese director did, it just doesn't work. Which is why I think they brought in the original guy to do the first one, because he got what made that thing so scary. And I don't think the Naomi Watts Ring, I don't think brought in the Japanese director. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it didn't. Like that feels like a very studio, which works, like it's good.
Yeah.
I don't recall a lot of American remakes bringing in Japanese directors to remake Japanese. Like when you said
the Ring was Gore Verbinski.
Oh, it was?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's okay. That makes sense.
Which makes sense. I mean, he's got gore right in his name.
Yeah.
You got to have him direct a
horror
movie.
They went to the phone book. Yeah. They saw gore. They stopped.
Have you ever seen any movies by his brother, Porn Verbinski?
It's a very awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes they cross over.
How about the guy that sells Clearasil?
What?
Poor.
Oh, poor Verbinski. I thought he was a bartender.
That's pretty good.
No, that's poor Verbinski.
He'd go, could you believe my two brothers and then I get stuck
doing this? Those are the twins. They're twins. Poor. Yeah.
But yeah, so there's just something missing when, because it does, it has a very different feel.
I feel like this movie couldn't decide if it wanted to be a regular, like, horror movie,
yeah,
or if it wanted to be this new breed of like art house horror movie.
Yeah. Yep.
And I
agree,
because it kind of goes back and forth, especially the last shot of the film.
Yep.
Like it's definitely trying to be like art house on that last shot.
Trying is the operative word. Yeah. And that's when I watched this, that's the exact thing that stuck out in my head, is we've gotten so many good horror films that have, you know, elevated the genre, and I'm talking about the Blumhouse stuff and the A24 stuff.
Yeah, the A24 stuff with the exception of I guess I'm just trying to think, like, we've had a good, 2019 was a good year for horror, where you were getting both sides of the coin, where you were getting the Halloween and like the jump scares, but then you also got Midsommar and Us,
right.
So you've got, it was an interesting,
but the Blumhouse and A24 stuff is the art house horror, and it's been amazing, you know, and that's Hereditary from the year before, and that's, you know, Get Out and all
it
that
follows, and,
so it comes at night. Exactly. So we're used to so many amazing elevated horror films now, and I don't like to say elevated horror, because I know that people love all types of horror. I'm not trying to use that as bad, but to describe those kind of art house horror movies,
right?
But so I'm watching this and I'm like, this is so bad compared to what we're used to. Like, I'm not into this at all. It's not well done. Like, we've seen what horror can be,
sure,
and we've seen fun horror, which I guess, like, Ready or Not, they say isn't horror, but you get what I mean.
It's like
we've seen that kind of fun thriller horror and comedy. Like,
it's got a foot in that world.
Yeah, we've seen both sides. We've seen the elevated art house stuff. We've seen the fun schlocky horror, and then you got this, which just lived in this no man's land.
Yeah,
and I thought it was so poorly done, and then all the jumping around. To me, I don't know. Maybe it's because I didn't understand it. Although you haven't seen the movies. But I
understood
I don't know.
I
felt like the backstory. I'm just like, they're jumping around and then I kept questioning, like, am I supposed to know some of these from, you know?
I did wonder. I did watch the movie going, is some of this fan service that I should be? But I don't think it was.
The only fan service is Lin Shaye.
Yeah.
I mean,
is she in the other ones?
No. Just, but I mean, like,
you're saying a horror icon.
Yeah.
Because like, she's from Insidious.
Yeah. Well, not even. She's like she was like the teacher in Nightmare on Elm Street.
She's
like
Scream Queen.
Yeah.
Kind of.
But she's. She was Bob. I think she's Bob Shea's sister.
Yeah.
So anything that Bob Shea, he was like, give Lynn a part. They're like, okay, I guess you can be the teacher in Nightmare on Elm Street.
But I mean, actually, like, Grudge specific fan service.
No,
just the house.
The house is the only tie.
I thought she was Robert Englund's sister.
I mean, her last name is Shea.
That would make sense then. Well, that would make sense. There must have been the Nightmare on Elm Street connection. I just confused it. But for some reason, I was thinking that she was.
But she's a fantastic actor. Yeah. She is in the Insidious movies. Actually, she would. They ran out of ideas for that. They're like, just give it Yeah, I know we killed her in part two. Just give her a movie in three and four.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. Which character was she in this one?
She was the woman.
She was the old lady with Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Okay. Dementia. She was the wife.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
She was the first. Okay, she's not the first victim. She's the second. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Best scene in this entire movie and creepiest scene.
Cutting the fingers?
Yes.
Yep.
That was the one scene in this movie where I went, ugh, like,
that's it. And that's the extended Red Band trailer that they put out.
Oh, was it?
Okay.
Well, I'm glad I didn't see that, then.
But right there, that was the one time in this whole movie where I go, okay, like, I'm glad there was something.
And that's the thing is, like, in the Japanese version, they don't, when they hit you with the gore, like, it's building to that. Like,
why is this movie rated R if they're going to basically do it one time? I mean,
I don't know.
There are some other.
Yeah, there's.
You know what I mean?
They could have made a few, I feel, minor cuts and had a PG-13 movie.
Yeah. So they lost.
Because I took my son, I bought a ticket before I realized, because I just assumed it was a PG-13 movie.
Yeah, sure.
And he's 15. And I've seen his browser history. I'm like, there ain't going to be anything in this thing that blows his mind. But I'm watching the movie and I'm like, there's nothing about this.
They made that weird decision where they, you know, these movies recently, like the stupid Black Christmas remake, you know, they went PG-13 and it was, I think that was a detriment to it. But with this one, it's like they actually went R, but then never used that R rating.
Yeah, they went R for no reason.
So why not get the PG-13 money like the other ones have all been doing? It just didn't make sense.
I also couldn't help but notice that one of the production companies is Grindhouse. Was it Grindhouse?
Oh, I don't know.
It was something. It was Ghost House.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I just feel like their little title card that they
is
do
very similar.
Is very similar to Blumhouse.
Yeah.
Because it starts and I was like, oh, it's a Blumhouse movie. Maybe we got a shot here.
Ghost House.
And then it was like, oh, Ghost House. Oh.
Underneath it says, sorry, not Blumhouse.
Right. Yeah. This is from the people that brought you Transmorphers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right.
The Asylum branch.
No, I feel like Ghost House at one point in maybe like the early 2000s was.
They sound like someone that would make like a Paranormal Activity. They sound like someone that was.
That was Jason Blum.
I know, but I'm just saying like maybe that's why. But they sound like they made one of those crazy like successful movies and I can't think of it, but
I feel like that
they did the original Grudge.
There we go.
Maybe that's why. Then
2004 they did Boogeyman, then obviously they did Grudge 2, Messengers, Rise, Bloodhunter. They did 30 Days of Night.
So they, I mean, they had a
Drag Me to Hell.
That's a crazy movie.
Possession, Evil Dead remake,
an actual good PG-13.
Yeah.
The Poltergeist remake.
Ooh, that was bad.
Don't Breathe.
Okay, so they were in the Fetty Al. Oh, okay.
Don't Breathe was good, right?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the blind one?
That's Fetty Alvarez.
Ooh, Turkey Baster.
Yeah. So, okay, that makes sense because this is produced by Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
That makes more. I wonder if Ghost House is Sam Raimi.
Oh, yeah, because Sam Raimi do The Grudge?
Yep.
The original?
Yep.
So that must be his thing.
That makes sense. Okay.
Because I remember that being a Sam Raimi brought that over.
Kind of
a produced.
And then, obviously, he did The Evil Dead and Don't Breathe. And
he did Evil Dead? He was involved with that?
I think he had a little bit to do with
it.
Yeah. I did like where he said,
based on characters.
Yeah, he'd like to do another one with Bruce Campbell's down. I was like, dude.
And then Bruce Campbell's like, I'm done.
Yeah. He's like, you did it, though. You got two seasons of Ash versus the Evil Dead. You're good to go.
I mean, it could always change, but I think he's a little upset about that being canceled and the whole, like, people downloading it and loving it, but no one subscribed to watch it kind of thing. So he's like, yep, it's done. Like,
game over.
Yeah.
You killed it. Congratulations. Yes.
Well done, fandom.
You all loved it, and no one bought it.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah. Put it on Netflix. You won't have that problem.
Yeah. That's true. Netflix just swooped that up.
Yeah. That's what they do for everything.
Yeah. Ghost House was founded in 2002 by Robert Tappert and Sam Raimi.
There we go. Okay. Which is weird. You'd think that Ted Raimi would have shown up in this movie somewhere, but apparently not. He could have been John Cho for all at this point.
And also, like, John Cho, what are you doing?
Getting paid?
I guess. You know, like,
also think about it. They probably needed him for like a week.
That's true.
Maybe. So he's probably like,
maybe
I'm going to go over here for a week. I'm going to make $1.5 million or whatever he gets for a movie.
And I'll head on back
home. But I'm just like, I just keep thinking like Searching. So good. Like, John Cho, just make good movies. Like, don't.
But
don't.
I also think, I think that it's still probably difficult. There probably aren't a lot of roles coming at Asian American men. That aren't just either insulting or. Yeah. Derivative action type movies.
Right.
But that was The movie was a lot of fun.
It played by its rules. It did exactly what you wanted it to do.
It was Searching was so well done, and I guess that's now I'm thinking of John Cho as that. You know, I mean, he's past Harold and Kumar. But he's moved on to Searching.
Well, he's got a big show coming out on Netflix, right? And he got injured while making it.
Cowboy
Bebop.
Yeah,
it's a big anime.
Wait,
adaptation.
He's Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
He's got something big in the works, and then they had the.
But I'm talking good. Like, I mean, that could be big, but I'm just saying, like, Searching was good. I just want him to make good stuff. That's
right.
All. And so I don't want to see him go back into, like, these just stupid.
I don't feel like he's bad in this. He's not in it enough to be bad.
Oh, yeah. He's not the problem.
No, you just don't want to. I mean.
He's not in Idris Elba territory right now. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know? It's going to be a while.
Yeah.
Before.
And what I mean by that is he hasn't made a lot of bad choices.
Yes.
You know?
Correct.
So this woman comes home. We're introduced to her family. And then that's kind of the last time we see them for a minute. And then we're introduced to this detective.
So the first one was 2004, I think.
The Japanese one is 02.
No.
And then the Sarah Michelle Gellar one is 04.
The movie, I think it said, takes place in 2004.
Yeah, this is all taking place like around the same time as The Grudge 1 and 2. Because it takes place between 2004 and 2006.
Right.
The sequel, like you said, to the first one. That makes sense then.
So Sarah Michelle Gellar probably shows up at that house after this woman leaves.
It's possible. I don't fully understand the timeline, but then I think it goes to 2006 is when we see the next.
And then we go to 2008? Because we're in three different time periods, right?
I thought it was 2004, 2005, 2006.
That's what it is. You're right. Yeah. So,
but they jump around. I think they go from 4 to 6 in the movie.
Yeah, and then cut back to 5.
Remember, it's not chronological.
Right. The detective is in 2006.
Yes. Right.
And then the first family in this movie
2004
is 2004. Mm-hmm.
John Cho
and then
is
John
2006.
Cho and his wife.
Oh wait, there's three then.
Is 2005.
Then where do Lin Shaye and her husband fall?
Are there four timelines?
I think there's four.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I thought we were in 2008.
So I told you this movie's a confusing mess.
Right. So you've got three different timelines plus the original woman.
Yeah.
Right.
No, this says the Muldoon portion is 2006.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then the Mathesons, that's the elderly couple, is 2005.
Okay.
And then the Spencers, which is John Cho and his wife, that immediately follows the Landers family.
Right.
Like
which,
they get
okay.
killed
yeah,
and then
yeah,
the
yeah,
house
yeah,
goes
yeah.
on the market.
That's it. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. So we're introduced
I just saw an idea of a show that they're getting ready to make.
Uh-oh.
Or come out, and I got to admit, this is a brilliant concept for a show.
Yeah?
It's called Murder Flip House. And
I thought that was fake. Is that real?
I think it's real, and it's like taking the Flipping Houses shows,
yeah.
but marrying it with true crime.
Yes.
And I was like, well, you're a goddamn genius.
Oh my God.
Whoever thought of that?
Yeah. Hat tip to you,
yeah, that's
sir or madam.
The insurgents, or I guess not even research, the insurgents of the love of like true crime and like
right.
podcast. Man, that's yeah. nuts. Yeah. So then we're introduced to Detective Muldoon, who he is this mousy. She's always, it's so weird. They want, can you do like a tougher version of the gal from The Shining? Maybe a little bit. Cause she's very mousy, but she's very smart. And she, you know, she is
yeah,
a detective.
I wasn't getting that read.
I don't know why, but maybe it was just the way she,
she's so thin,
I guess maybe, but she's always wearing like big bulky,
yeah,
sweaters.
I guess I just never saw her as like as weak as that character.
I never saw her as
because she's a police officer.
Yeah.
So I just was like, well,
maybe
she's
it's just her
be.
Build.
Yeah,
and because she does fall apart. Like she's falling apart throughout the movie.
Right.
I just didn't think she was great.
She was not great, but she was serviceable.
And the material's not good. So I mean, I'm not putting it all on her shoulders, but I don't know. She didn't carry the movie for me. I just was
no.
Like,
well, and then I was worried at one point when they introduced the other detective, where I was like, are they trying to tie this into The Conjuring right now? Because he was the priest in The Nun.
Ah.
And I was like,
no,
don't
just,
tell me he's anybody from
that
series. Like, that's don't yeah. do that.
That's just get someone
I mean,
from
that
another
would,
horror.
That would be like the ultimate, like, oh, there's a ghost in this house. I got a guy.
I wish.
Yeah. So they are working. They find this car that is abandoned, and it's a pretty gnarly, like, it's a gnarly death scene. Like, you don't really see a death scene, but it's like a gnarly body.
It looks like a charred up skeleton.
Yeah,
but it's been sitting there
for months.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's just weird, because the way it looked, though, to me, it looked like a skeleton when it's like on fire, like after.
That's what, but it had been sitting in that car for who,
but later
years,
on,
I guess.
But to me, it didn't seem like the car caught on fire or anything. So
it
I
did
just,
not.
The
yeah,
aftermath
I think
didn't match what I thought.
Yeah, but nothing else in the car looked burnt, so I think it was just goop. It just
decayed.
Decaying.
But yeah, I don't know. It just, to me, it didn't match up with, because I was waiting for like some kind of explosion or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. So, you know, they kind of say that they figure out who this gal was and that she was working in this house. And then, of course, the one detective was like, no, thank you. We're going to move along.
123 Murder Street.
Right. So she, like, the Muldoon starts to do some
Muldoon. That's the guy's name from Jurassic Park.
It is. Yeah.
Clever girl.
Starts to.
Is she related? Tied in.
There's your tie in. I mean, it is a Universal movie.
My brother was working for this asshole, John Hammond.
He got mauled by a velociraptor. That's why they're so broken up. Like, they're still dealing with the mauling of. Yeah. So she starts working this case and starts going back through the house. And we realize that there was a murder inside this house, that it was a murder suicide. And that was as far as it went. And she is adamant that it was not. But the one detective was like, no, thank you. Like, we're not.
Yeah.
They're like, he goes, I guess they end up saying the reason he's okay is because he never went into the house. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't walk across the threshold. He didn't want anything to do with it. But his partner, on the other hand, did.
Not so lucky.
Not so lucky. Who also, I couldn't, who was that guy?
I don't know.
He was in, William Sadler. That's who that guy is. He's a great character actor. Like, you've seen him in a bunch of stuff, but you don't recognize.
Dr. Ellie Sadler from Jurassic Park? maybe this is the shared universe.
Yeah, right. But he was in, like, Demon Knight, which was, like, that Tales from the Crypt movie, which is awesome.
No, I've never
seen
it.
It's so good. starring Jada Pinkett Smith and Billy Zane.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I think it was like the first time you see a bald Billy Zane, and now that's kind of his look. So then we kind of flash back to this woman goes to the house, and the Muldoon goes to the house in question, and this is where we see she kind of breaks in, and Lynn Shea is like standing there, standing at the cutting board, and she's like, he always feeds me, and she turns around. And like, her hand is all gnarly, and she's like, it's Lynn Shea. They were just like, just go, like, in this scene right here, just lose your mind.
Lynn Shea it up.
And she does, like, she's screaming. And then, of course, the detective, she's asked if there's any, you know, she hears footsteps in the house. She asks if there's anybody else in the house. She kind of backs up. And this is where we see another body that is a decomposed body of some sort. She falls
like
out
in
of
a recliner or something.
Yeah. She falls out of the house. And of course, calls for the cops to show up. This is where it starts to jump around. Like, then we get the story of
real estate.
I think so.
I'm not certain.
It's hard because it jumps back. Like, I was watching this and be like, Joe's going to have a rough time.
I know. And I'm like,
I almost wanted to break down each story like individually. Like, I feel like maybe do that. So the detectives end up, they show since Muldoon has crossed the threshold, now she has the curse. So she's starting to see like bodies and like the ghosts of the people that were murdered in the house to begin with. So she's trying to break down. There is a scene where she starts tracking like where the original woman that was in Japan, she starts tracking down that house. And this is where you get a glimpse into like the real grudge, like the real curse,
right?
Where she kind of mentions that this husband killed his wife and son in the house. Mm. And they're just like, that's it. It's the curse of these weird, cursy people. So she's starting to lose her mind slowly but surely. I'm trying to think.
So why do they call it the grudge? So it's a curse, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have anything to do with someone holding a grudge. Like, is there a history?
It's the child and wife holding a grudge against the husband for killing them.
Oh, okay. So they're the first ones
in 2004. Right. They are
in
the first,
like, the history.
The curse started with them. The theory is that because they died so horribly,
in such a rage,
Carrie too, that their presence is just left in the house.
Unlike a regular murderer, where people are chipper and happy.
Oh, like, a friendly murder.
Yeah.
This is the best part of my day.
Like, isn't that every murder?
I think that's probably... I think there was so much rage, but like, because...
They were just so gosh darn angry about that murder. Right.
But I think the basis of that first one is like, she had been having, not an affair, maybe it was an affair, but with this professor, and like that's where the husband lost his mind because of it, blah blah. So Muldoon is like working the case, and we start to see like connections. It's weird because they never talk about John like in present day, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. They never talk about John Cho.
They're probably like, let's get John Cho is a real estate agent. Let's get him in here.
But like he murdered his wife and himself. So like I feel like that would be a tie when they're looking into that house.
Well, now that house has got it, right?
That's kind of what I thought. And I thought that Muldoon was living in that house. I thought the house that Muldoon, the detective, was living in was John Cho's house.
I didn't get that.
Okay,
I thought it wouldn't have mattered if she went into the Lander's house.
She would have had
it
in her
house.
We're
giving this movie too much credit at this point. But I do.
You're right, though. If he brought it out of that house,
it should have gone. So like, that's the theory of this movie, right? Which is, I think is a cool idea, is that this is how it could spread. You know, like, I'm okay with that. Like, there's a good idea there. Like, the idea of the American coming home and
bringing
it with
her. But they
need
a better reason for why one murder is more important than every other murder. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like, the whole, like, it's attached to rage. That's dumb, because every murder is attached to rage. So
you mean the original murder?
Yeah.
Or, like, why they're cursed?
Like, yeah, why?
How did the curse start? Like, why is this a curse as opposed to every other house?
I think that, now that I'm thinking, there might be, the name of the first movie might be a Japanese legend. Or like a story,
right,
about like what that is.
Yeah.
And then that they just played off of that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to have. I mean, you don't always need everything explained, but to understand that why that murder was specific enough make a grudge.
If they didn't explain it, I'd be okay with that.
Sure.
It's that the explanation is dumb.
I'm almost positive at the beginning of The Grudge, the first one, they give, maybe it's in this one, where they give like a breakdown of what that legend or...
Well, do you remember at the title card after the caregiver comes back to the U.S.?
They mention it,
they're
right?
Like, something, 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 The Grudge. I can't remember, but they tried to, because I thought that was really weird. Like, explaining before the... it was just a very strange way of putting that out there.
But I feel like at least maybe in the 04 version, there is a title card that explains what a Jun-un is.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, they did not go in deep. It was one line, and it's something about something, something, something. The
it
grudge
carries
like
a grudge.
Yeah, it was not an explanation like that, because I was very confused. After.
Yeah,
there's a reason, folks, why this has an F cinema score.
Yeah,
let me
not,
just tell you that right now.
Right, right, right. Like I said, they had a good.
I think a lot of that F comes from this this split personality the movie has.
Yeah.
Of jump scare or art house.
Right,
and because it tries to do both, it makes neither camp happy.
Yeah. Correct.
And everybody left just going like,
what?
What are we doing?
Yeah,
One or the other, folks.
I think they had something with the idea that she brought it to America.
Yeah,
and I was
sure.
Like, okay, you get yourself, you bring it out of Japan, you put it into the States, that works.
Yeah.
That plays.
That's cool. Get it.
So
make it good. Make it creepy. Make it gory. Make it scary.
Right.
But they didn't do any of that stuff. None of it ever felt like the ramped up tension. I never was on the edge of my seat going, this is really creepy. Just the hand cutting thing that made me go, ugh.
In the original one, there is a lot of tension building. Yeah. There's a lot of,
and like the hand on the head thing when John Cho's in the shower, that's on every piece of advertising.
So that was
that's the classic scene.
That's
from
your
the first
fan one. Service from the first
okay.
one.
Yeah,
but Sarah Michelle Gellar is washing her hair.
Okay,
and like a hand comes out.
But so it's like, but that's on the poster for this one, and it's on every still image promotion, like, so I'm just like, well, I wasn't scared by that because I've seen that already.
Right.
You know,
right. It's almost,
it would have been better if I just didn't expect it, right?
Right. It's interesting that Wes Craven,
but I think that's such an iconic image from the first movie.
Yeah.
If you know one thing about The Grudge,
it's that scene. Yeah.
Because even the little girl, if you show most people the little girl, they're going to think it's the girl from The Ring.
Right. That's
yeah.
very true.
Yeah. Because I've never seen those movies and I know exactly.
You've
what
never seen
creepy.
The Ring?
No.
Oh, really? The Ring's good.
Ring's good stuff.
But I know what that little creepy girl looks like.
Right.
For sure.
Those movies were so popular in Japan that they did almost a BVS version of this in The Ring. Like, there's a The Grudge versus
there's
The Ring.
There's a mashup.
Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Are
and
you
I think that's
Ringu.
Yeah, Ringu. Yes.
Yeah.
So she's working the case. And
have you ever seen the Italian version, Ragu?
No.
That's really
son of a
good.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Prego, though. That's, yeah.
Prego v.
Well,
Ragu.
That's the porn version.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. So she's working the case. She gets all of the details.
Why did you say marinara?
I'm garlic butter. So she's working the... Muldoon is working the case, and she's... she realizes that she's cursed. So she takes it upon herself to go to the house with her child in the car, by the way.
She realized that she was cursed, so let's go to a murder house.
And bring your kid with you.
Right, and bring your kid to the
you
murder house.
You couldn't leave that kid anywhere? Like, well, you
well,
left
she
him,
did all the other times.
That's what I'm saying. You left him somewhere the entire movie. Why would you bring him to the murder house?
Right.
You psycho. So she burns down the house. Oh. And that's kind of how they think the grudge has been lifted, but it hasn't. So that's the 2000.
I think based on the box office, the grudge has been lifted this
That's
time.
True. You know, you know, Blumhouse is like, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard you got a property. You need some help.
Right.
Somebody fix that for
you? I got an idea for you.
$2 million. It makes 100 opening weekend.
Don't even worry about it.
I will
it.
Say this. The more I see that trailer for Invisible Man, the more I am I'm in.
It's all in, man.
This looks
How
good.
How amazing does
I haven't
that
seen
look?
Anything since the first, since I caught a glimpse
That's all
of
you
that
need
first
to see.
One. Yeah, I don't want it, but I just...
And I don't think it's been a new trailer.
No,
okay.
It's the
just,
same
they
trailer.
They just keep showing
I just
same
remember
one.
Her being like in a house with stuff happening and, you know...
I was like, what a great usage of that character. Yeah.
What a and that character's pretty lame.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, totally. And this is a brilliant idea.
Yeah, because I mean... Yeah.
Does he have floating glasses in this one?
Nope.
Floating glasses.
It ties himself up with
LASIK.
Yeah, right. It's 2019. What are you gonna do?
No, it's not.
That's true. Yeah. Well, it was when that movie was made.
When's Blumhouse getting the Darkman reboot?
Not soon enough.
Yeah. See what I'm, see what I'm saying?
He has to somehow retcon 2 and 3.
No, we don't. Yeah, yeah, I mean, just reboot. We need. Right. I need a Blumhouse Darkman.
As long as they get Liam Neeson to come back, which is weird. Like Liam Neeson is in this psychopathic superhero movie, like he's the good guy. He's Darkman.
Well, he wasn't a name yet.
Yeah,
he wasn't.
No,
what year is that?
Not 90... quite yet. Yeah,
is it 93?
It's like midnight. It's like mid-90s.
You don't think he was a name? And I guess that's probably
not really.
True.
He
when
was
did he
in,
become a name? When did he become
in,
like the?
He was in Les Mis.
Rob Roy.
He was Rob Roy, which maybe he was 94. I think Rob Roy was 94. But like,
is
I mean,
that, is Rob Roy like his coming out party?
But he wasn't.
Is that the one where he
says, that's the first time I ever really noticed.
It's not Schindler's List, is it?
That was 93, came out same year as Jurassic Park.
So maybe it's Schindler's List. Let's and see. Then he was like.
And then Dark, because Darkman 97?
Yeah, he was in Krull.
That's awesome. Was he really?
And what?
Krull and Excalibur. I didn't know that.
Oh, I love Excalibur.
Let's see. He was in Delta Force, uncredited.
Cool.
The Mission, A Prayer for the Dying. He had a role in the Deadpool.
Oh, he's the...
Darkman, 1990. Yeah, so that was before all
it's
that
post,
stuff. Yep.
It's post-Batman.
Yeah, but pre his...
Yes. Okay.
Oh, Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, it plays like the crazy director in the Deadpool. He's directing the movie that Jim Carrey is
on. Oh, okay. It's been so long since I've seen
that's
Deadpool.
A, like, look at that. I know those Dirty Harry movies are what they are.
Yeah.
I love that series.
Oh, no,
that
those, series, are, those like, are some fun movies.
All of them,
I think
all
I've
the
only
through.
Seen the first two.
Magnum Force and there's the Deadpool, the Enforcer,
Sudden Impact.
Yeah, yeah. There's man, I forgot there was five, but those are all.
Yeah, I saw the first two.
Which one's Sandra Locke? She plays in one of them. The other one is Tyne Daly. Maybe that's the same movie.
You better guess through the other.
Yeah,
I was
sorry.
Okay.
So that's your main. Okay. That's the so then we'll go. I'll just go back to the John Cho stuff.
Okay.
So, wait. I'll go to the old people first, because then the John Cho stuff is before that.
Okay.
So now we're introduced to an older couple who are failing in health. Like, the wife is, Lin Shaye, the wife is failing in health. She has Alzheimer's, and they moved to this house because they thought it would help be closer to her doctors, and it would help, but it's only she's only gotten worse since they've been in this house.
Sounds like they picked the wrong house.
They picked the wrong house. And then I recognize this woman who's
maybe
like,
the real estate agent's the villain of this movie.
I know. John Cho is the bad guy.
Keep pushing this house on people.
Yeah, right,
well,
right, right.
He's got a vacancy.
Right. So this woman.
It's a great deal, man. I mean, how many times can you resell the same house?
All the time. At least a year.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
Just as long as you don't go inside, John Cho. Just stay on the outside.
So these people call someone that helps people.
She's
pass
a Dr. Kevorkian.
Correct.
Yeah, she kills people. Right. Yeah, that's what she does.
Okay. Yeah, she's assisted suicide.
Yeah, and that's what they say in the Muldoon stuff is like she was one of the she would help people die basically.
Right.
So she's this woman sits down.
Dr. Sleep.
She is kind of Dr. Sleep. Yeah. This woman sits down with the husband and says, "Look, she needs to be in her right state of mind, and then we can go through with this." So they have an interview with Lin Shaye, and of course, Lin Shaye is not in her right state of mind. but she's talking to this little girl. And then,
so like, does she have another disease? Or was this guy really just trying to kill her because she had dementia?
I took it as like, well, we're not going to, I'd rather kill her now, I guess.
Because, I mean, most people, when they're doing assisted suicide, you have a terminal illness.
Right.
Technically, Alzheimer's is a terminal illness, but it's a long process.
But you're in
process.
Pain. You're trying to relieve them of the pain, of agony of every day. Like, you're not just like, they don't know where they are. They better.
Right.
It's yeah. like. I was like, but that's really all, like, okay. This guy's as nice
that's
as we
pretty,
can.
Yeah. Right.
So, of course, then the camera pans back and we see that she's talking to a little girl that nobody else can see, or so we think.
Right.
So the woman's like, the caregiver's like, nope, can't do it. Like, this is not, she's not okay. Like, she can't answer any of my questions. I'm not doing it. But then she opts to stay for 3 days.
Yeah.
For some reason, I feel like the end of our business is our business agreement is over.
Yeah.
I'm out.
That was weird.
But she stays for like 3 days.
That was weird.
So,
well, maybe she was trying to, like, sometimes people
sundowners
have good moments.
Yeah.
And if
yeah.
it had been a good moment, she'd have been like, no, I want this.
I don't know. That's fair.
Or maybe she's like, hey, you're going to be single soon.
Yeah, right. You got a nice house here.
But so is that, that's not ever legal though, assisted suicide.
No.
So I mean
Dr. Kevorkian went to prison for
it. So that's what I'm saying, like, it's never legal. So even like, I don't know, like, to be so concerned, I guess that's just her morals of it, but you're still doing something illegal.
Yeah,
it
but
it just feels weird to me. I don't know.
I mean after watching what my grandmother went through, I get it.
Okay. yeah
like it, she when she died, it was, I mean, that woman could remember almost anything by the time she was gone. Like, yeah. You know, she couldn't feed herself. That's basically what happened, is she forgot how to breathe.
Right.
And that's, you know, so fudge that. Yeah. No, thank you.
Gotcha.
So the, you know, life progresses in this house with the old woman. And finally, I think it all comes to a head.
Well, like, I mean, that, so the caregiver lady, she goes to get groceries for them to, like, cook them dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
And doesn't she start seeing stuff almost immediately?
So now she has the curse as well. So
it followed her out of there. So she's out, like, at
the
grocery
store. She's
seeing
the husband and the little girl. Mm-hmm. She's seeing all of this going on to where finally it all comes to a head, and there is an incident inside. Oh, is she cutting her? She's cutting her fingers off.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And we do see, like, there is a
Don't eat little smokies at the house.
Or carrots.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, what I thought she was cutting, like, just the sound.
I was in no danger of eating a carrot.
That's fair.
But yeah, grossest part.
It's a very good scene.
That's what I expect from a movie called The Grudge, and I know that, like, horror people like these movies, and it's Sam Raimi, and, you know, it's like, I want to see some gross, creepy horror.
Yeah. I think when this is not Fede Alvarez, and Fede Alvarez doubled down on the gore in Evil Dead.
He understood it.
Right.
That's what you want out of an Evil Dead movie.
This scene is their Evil Dead moment, but there should have been more of it.
Right.
And maybe not, like, because the Grudge isn't built on that. Like, it's not built on the gore by any stretch of the imagination.
Not necessarily more gore, but just more
creepiness.
Yes.
Scary. Yeah.
More creative ways to do creepy things.
Exactly. Yes, I agree. So she turns around, and of course she's cutting her fingers off, and she rubs it on the gal's face. Ooh. Which I thought was what was the visit? Where, like, the dad, the grandpa takes the diaper in the kid's face. So she bolts, and this is where you look at her car, and she's driving down this road. You're like, okay, this is the car that Muldoon found. This is the car from the future part.
Yeah.
So she drives into, you know, she thinks she gets away. She drives down this little side road, and she loses control of the car, crashes the car, and she dies. And then that's where that story ends. So
yeah, and that's what, yeah. So she, like, crashes into a tree. She's like, it's so weird because she like sees someone in the seat behind her and gets freaked out, and then drives through the forest, the dark forest.
Right.
I'm like, I get that you're scared, but, like,
where are you going?
Yeah, what is that going to accomplish that driving down the road in the open won't accomplish? Like, why veer into the forest where there's trees to crash?
I do find it funny that at one point they have to flash back to Muldoon finding the car. Like, the viewers just aren't
I'm like, I saw this already. That was one of the dumbest things, because when we saw it again, I'm like, This isn't new. Did you think people forgot that they discovered?
I think they did. I think they were spoon feeding it to people.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I agree. This is when the car crashed. I'm like, oh, that's who they found in the beginning. I'm like, I didn't imagine that.
No.
I'm seeing them do this.
They did
again.
A weird flash
and then
back, flash forward.
I can't remember if this is the point or not. But do you guys remember a scene where there was this really hopeful, triumphant music, and then it just cut abruptly? Like,
yes.
There was a really, and it was around here, is why I mention it.
Maybe she thought she got away.
Yeah, there was a really weird triumphant thing, and then it just cuts to silence at the next scene. And like, it was the editing was so jarring and out of place.
I don't really. That does sound familiar,
but very odd. Yeah.
So now we've got part one of our case, is we know that the body that Muldoon found in the rocking chair was the husband. Mm-hmm. Lynn Shay's still alive. Oh, there's the whole thing with William Sadler, like the partner.
Right, like
he had gone into the house and lost his mind.
Right.
So Muldoon, the detective in present day, goes to talk to him, and he's crazy pants. And
so this is the original partner,
right? Yes, his original partner, and like pulls
the guy
his own
replaced.
Pulls his own eyeballs out because he doesn't want to see it.
So they show that he shot it. He goes out of the house and then he shoots himself.
So he's the one that goes into the house with the original murder.
Yeah, he shoots himself in the car with his partner.
In the car. Yes. Right, he shoots himself, and that's why his face is all messed up.
And this is, again, very, like, when he shoots himself, that's very Sam Raimi. Like, the gore effects, and, like, unfortunately, he didn't kill himself. Like, he just destroyed the side of his face. Yeah. So William, there's this whole, that's where she's getting more, Muldoon in the present day is getting more information. And then she realizes that she's becoming him.
Yeah. This guy's like, maybe if we can't see them, then they can't affect us. So he's like, let me pull my eyes out.
Yeah, pull my eyes out. Which, again, in a Sam Raimi movie, I expect to see you pull your eyes out.
Right.
Well, right. That's why it's like,
especially when it's R.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly. This is rated R, yet they cut to him with no eyes. And you're like, why didn't you?
Well, I mean, we know what happened.
Yeah, but it's rated R. Why that's
what happened?
Scene.
A $10 million budget.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. So then that's kind of where that story ends. So then we'll jump backwards another year, and we get John Cho and his wife, and they're having a baby, but the baby is, they mention the baby, but they don't, I don't know if it's real. Like, I mean, I've never had, I don't know. I mean, I know there are genetic tests.
I don't think they made it up. I'm pretty sure it's a real disorder.
So
but yeah, there's testing you could do. Like, so they show the imagery of the baby, and they show a needle going in.
Yeah.
So there's testing they do when the baby's in the womb.
It's super dangerous, but you can do it.
But if they think there's a risk for something, they do it. It's only if you think that there's some predisposition or whatever.
It's a brain disorder that destroys the protective sheath that surrounds the brain's neurons.
Oh, wow.
The nerve cells that allow us to think and control our muscles.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. So
and most severely affects boys and men, and
well, that explains
it. I wonder how they could tell. We can't control ourselves in the first place.
So they're telling about this.
Sorry if any listeners have ALD.
Yeah. So the doctor's like, I mean, this is where we are.
And they're like, but it could be okay, right? And he's like,
He's like, yeah, I mean, if you want to think that.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's not very positive.
Sure, there's like
outlook.
A 1% chance maybe that it's okay. They don't say that. But
yeah, it's not a positive outlook for these two. And so obviously.
So it is like this family's in turmoil. Not in turmoil, but there's some emotional.
It's a crisis point.
Yeah. So John Cho is trying to sell this house, and he can't get a hold of the owners. Like, he's constantly calling. They've closed. I guess they've closed on the sale of the house, but they need to sign the closing papers, and they just don't. They aren't there. So he goes to the house with his wife in the car, and this is where he walks inside for the first time. And I was like, you dummy. Ugh. Like, well, great. So
how's a real estate agent not going to walk in a house?
I mean, that's true. That's fair.
This has to be the scariest movie ever if you're a realtor.
So
this is just like that movie I saw, The Grudge 2004 with Miss Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, oh, it's so
maybe
good.
I shouldn't walk in this house.
No, you shouldn't. So he's got it. But things for him, things don't progress.
He sees the little girl, right?
The second time he goes to the house. Oh, you know what? Maybe he doesn't cross the threshold completely that first time.
Yeah.
And they use, like, the ghosts of this house use the little girl to get him inside.
Yeah, I don't remember the first time anything creepy happening. That could just be my memory from this mess of a movie. But I remember he goes inside
the
and sees
time.
The little girl. She has a nosebleed. He starts walking around.
Right. So the nosebleed, it's actually water. So, like, in the original version, the dad drowns the little boy.
Oh.
And then, so, like, he's always constantly wet in the movie.
Okay.
So, I think in this one, the mom drowns the little girl. So, like, it's not blood or, it's just black.
What was the drowning? Did a ghost try to drown the detective in a toilet or something?
Yeah,
in
like, a sink.
In a, the
yeah,
sink.
Like, pushes her into the sink, yeah.
I'm guessing that was some kind of a, like, you're going to die this way because
that's how
I thought
son,
maybe
that's
that was
the
homage.
Died. Yes, okay. It is. So, yeah. So
he's trying to find a parent. He's like,
can't find a parent. It's not going well. And then he gets possessed basically inside the house.
Yeah. I think it cuts
the wife is him trying, like she's trying to call him. The phone's not working or whatever.
Cause the second time the wife's not with him in the car,
right,
she's at home. So she wakes up and then he's standing there.
She hears him in the kitchen and she goes downstairs and then he murders her. And then murders himself.
Yeah.
And I did like this shot, actually. Again, like,
when they find him and he's, like, over the top of her or whatever.
Well, she's, like, they flash.
The next scene when they, like, find them.
She's, like, on the floor and there's blood
gross.
Everywhere. Yeah. And I was, like, okay, like, that works. Like, that plays. I don't need to see him stab an unborn child.
No.
Like, I don't need to see that at all.
But it was the imagery of, like.
He kind of turns around. His glasses are all jacked up. And and then we find out that the deal is this original woman from the beginning of the movie gets hit with the curse because she was in that house. She comes home and all hell breaks loose and she ends up murdering everybody. She kills her husband. She kills her daughter. She kills herself inside the house. So now the house is cursed. And like we said in the beginning.
So are these the ghosts of her or the ghosts of the original?
So in theory, my theory is that it's the ghosts of the original, but you never see the two ghosts from the 2004 version, where in that the Sarah Michelle Gellar movie, they're always like, when you see them, there's like sound cues where just like it's almost like Jaws almost, where there's in the original one there's a sound cue where you're like, oh, here they come, like it's coming to get you, like,
right.
It's almost like
use of sound, and that's what this movie doesn't have an effective use of sound or score where I was just like the scenes were boring and not scary or tension filled because they didn't use any sound. It was all quiet. Like every and this
it's
like
a, it's
that's
a, it's,
such
a cheap,
a,
it's a cheap it's jump scare.
So when we talk about cheap jump scares, sometimes they're effective. Like I remember was it a Quiet Place when a little animal goes on the window?
Yes.
But then there's another thing that kills that one.
Got a trailer for that too.
You think it's gonna you think it's gonna be the little animal, it's gonna be the crazy thing.
But it's the big
thing. And then it's safe and it runs away and then the other thing kills it.
Right.
But like there's good ways to do fake out jump scare type of things and use the score. But this movie did the cheapo kind.
That second one, I'm in.
I didn't watch the trailer, but
it looks
question
good.
I mean, I'll watch it, obviously, but I didn't really need a sequel to A Quiet Place.
Neither
did
they until it made that much money.
Right.
Well, it's Netflix, so.
It's not Netflix.
That was Bird Box.
Bird Box was Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's why there's a sequel. Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's funny.
Although you're getting a Bird Box sequel as well.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. All right. Yeah. I like that.
It's called Two Turtle Doves.
And a partridge and a pear tree.
No, a bird in a box. No, I get it. The first one.
So yeah, it's a mess. It's not good. It's a shame that.
Is that it? How does it end? Is that
so? It ends with like the mom.
Oh, burning the house.
Burning the house down.
Yeah,
and like,
there's a scene where she's watching the guy come out of the bathroom after her.
That was a good scene. No, that's where she's looking. That's where she's going through the. Like the microfiche.
Yeah.
And then she sees.
I don't understand. The bathroom had a sign on it that said lavatory.
It was just an old bathroom.
In a house?
No, I mean,
that was
in the police
station.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But it just said lavatory.
Didn't say men, women.
Right.
No. Lavatory.
And then if you go. But then when she was in it.
Did it say ladies?
No. Oh. But there was a stall behind her.
Yeah.
So if it's.
I guess I don't know what lavatory means.
It means bathroom.
Oh,
it's just a fancy way to say bathroom. But like, if you're in a non-gendered bathroom, then it's going to be a single seater.
Oh.
So if it's a single seater, why is there a stall in it?
I get you.
I've been in bathrooms that are singles that have the urinal and the toilet because then it's just faster to get men through there if it's a shared. There's real bathrooms.
I've
like
seen
that.
Yeah.
Because then Meg can go in the urinal real quick and don't have to mess with the other thing. But
I haven't seen the stall. Like, whenever I see that, there's a urinal and a place to sit, which I've never understood.
Yeah, the stall's a little weird.
Because you're not going to... Like, I go in and I lock the door. I'm not sharing. Because it's like, what if a lady walks in?
That's true.
Or like,
right. That's
what,
true.
You know, like... That's,
no, of course. And why would there be a stall? You don't need privacy for a single... I get in theory, right. Sure.
But I'm like, so why would there be a stall?
Yeah, that's weird.
They were just like, we're not changing that sign. Just like, we're not changing that bathroom.
I've never seen a bathroom that said lavatory on it.
That's interesting. That's true. But I did think that was actually a really effective scene where you just see how crazy she is or how crazy she's getting.
Yeah.
Where she thinks she's getting attacked, but then she's
the
like...
The whole time I just kept thinking about lavatory. The sign of the bathroom door.
But I do remember that now where she's like, yeah.
She thinks she's attacked. And she goes back and looks at the tape and
there's
she's
nothing.
Like... nothing. No, she looks at it and there's something. But when she shows the other Tubby
guy.
McGillicuddy, yeah, there's nothing. Yeah. But yeah, go watch the original one from 2002. If you don't want to do subtitles, go watch the one from 2004 because it's the exact same movie.
And how it ends is she burns the house down. She goes back to her house.
Right.
And she's hugging her son. And then the son walks behind her and you realize she's not hugging her son.
Yeah.
She's hugging the grudge.
The grudge kid. Yeah. Which I think is an effective ending. Like I did, like when you see the kid like, all right, mom, see ya. And I was like, ah!
Who am I hugging?
Yeah. And then it ends on just a shot of the house.
Right.
In silence.
And then they play some stupid song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did think that ending, I was like, that's lame.
Well, did it play a song over the credits?
Oh, maybe was it just silence?
It was just silence and like ambient noise of
that makes sense.
The outside world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just like staring at this house.
Yeah.
They played grunge, I think.
I would love if they did. Just any of it. Just some Mudhoney or, Nirvana. But yeah, this is a mess. They tried what they could with the time jumps.
They're trying to be fancy. They're
trying to be fancy, go watch the sequel, the American sequel, is also not bad. Like it's a pretty decent. If you are feeling crazy pants, you can watch there's 30 of these movies. Like there's a bunch of these movies. Go do it.
I thought there were just three.
No, there's three American ones.
Right.
But there's a bunch.
Oh,
in Japan.
If you watch the Japanese ones.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. And then go watch The Ring, which is also pretty solid.
Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget about our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and the joy of helping us out. So that's it for this one. Coming up next week,
1917.
We could do Like a Boss.
What is the? Oh,
that's
the
Rose. That's a Rose Byrne, Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've
starring
seen that.
Rose Byrne as Leslie Mann.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
But I also feel like I've seen that entire movie.
Yeah.
That trailer.
Oh, for sure.
Because I'm in the theater, where
it's a very long
when
trailer.
When I'm forced to watch trailers and I see that one and they go through the entire plot and most of the jokes, as far as I can tell.
Right.
I've seen this movie. Like, save that stuff.
Man, Bad Boys is in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll see how that goes.
Thanks for tuning in. And until then, Harvey falls down a manhole and dies.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.